The following is the second part of the forum for candidates for the Belgrade School District 44 board that was held in the Belgrade Community Library on Tuesday, April 29th. This portion of the forum featured candidates for the one-year position.
If you guys are all ready, we can get started, because I don't want to keep you too late. I know you guys get tired.
Yes.
At least I do. I'm old. I get tired.
We only have half hour.
Okay. We have three candidates. There are three candidates for one-year term. You know, the previous one is a three-year term. We had four candidates for the three-year term. You would vote for three of the four. This one, there's one seat for the one-year term, so you would vote for one of these three. None. Just clarifying that. Did you all get your ballots? Yeah, so it's right in there. So we'll start back over, and we'll first allow each candidate to introduce themselves, and they will have 2 minutes. We'll have the same prepared question that the other candidates got, and then we will open it up to your questions. And we will start with Lila J. Bird.
Beard.
I knew it was Beard. She was my kids' teacher. I had a lot of Mrs. Beard times. Anyway, we will start with Lila J. Beard.
And since I'm old, she shut me off. You will not hear from me. It's just a trick. Yeah, I'm very old, so I'm going to put on my old lady glasses and talk to you. As she said, I am Lila Beard. I was born and raised in Montana. I was born in Wolf Point, Montana. I was raised on a farm ranch operation about 50 miles southwest of there. I'm a graduate of Circle High School. I'm also a graduate of Montana State University with degrees in history and speech communications. I have a Broadfield Social Studies endorsement and a master's in education technology from Lesley University. I have been in the Belgrade area for 36 years of my life, and 33 of those were spent in the Belgrade Public Schools. I started in 1990 as a substitute in Belgrade High School, and they thought I was worthy of their time, and they hired me. And I retired in 2015, but I could not cut the umbilical cord with kids, and so I continued to sub until the spring of 2023. All of my children are graduates of Belgrade High School. I currently have three grandchildren attending Belgrade schools, one in Story Creek, one in the Belgrade Middle School, and one in the Belgrade High School. And my daughter is a teacher at the Belgrade Middle School. I feel that students are our future. They are the future of Belgrade, Montana. I love kids. They are the future of our state, and that's why I'm running for this board. It's about kids to me, and it's about what we can do as fine parents, fine teachers, and a fine community, because I think I live in one of the best communities of the state. Thank you.
Our next candidate is Samantha Baker, and we'll have her opening statement.
Hello, everyone. My name is Samantha Baker. You can call me Sam. I moved here in 2017 with my husband for his work, and we are originally born in Washington. Bellingham is the Canada of Washington. We obviously came for his job, but what kept us here originally was the mountains. We love climbing, but the people are what makes this place home. For the last 2 years, I have been volunteering in the elementary school, Ridgeview, with my son's class and other classes. And I was drawn to this position because I have just been constantly inspired by this community, their dedication to our kids, to the programs here. These teachers, these students, these parents, they actually care. They want to do well, you know, when you have limited resources or when you just have a dream of activity, they find a way to make it happen. And I am so inspired by that, to want to support that, to support our kids. I mean, I'm in their classroom multiple times a week, and I feel like I have you know, 16 kids because they are just so cool. They're so great. There's nothing funnier than being at the grocery store and having a little kid run up to you and say, "Miss Sam," and their parents stare at you like, "What is happening? Who are you?" And I'm like, "Sorry, I hang out with your kid all day. You're doing a great job." Because I think that is the amazing part of this community is that Belgrade, we've got great parents because you've got great kids. And I want to make sure that we have a school board that is doing their best for those kids, for those teachers, for the staff, because ultimately what I see every day is people who are invested in our community, and we need to keep that going. We need quality community engagement. We need to make sure that we have people who are watching what's going on, not just filling a board, making sure that, you know, we're checking our boxes. This is about people. This is about our neighbors. And so taking care of them, I can't imagine a greater gift.
Our third candidate is Kelly Kerner Morrison, and we'll let her do her opening.
Awesome. Thank you. As she said, I'm Dr. Kelly Morrison, and the Kerner's in there because if you wanted to Google me online, all of my stuff has my maiden name in it also, so I left that in my ballot. As I said, I do get to carry the title of doctor. I earned my doctorate at Montana State in education. Higher Education Administration. But the strongest thing that I can prescribe for any of you is a learning plan. So hopefully we can use that to our advantage as a school board. I have 20 years in workforce development and higher education, so I don't know everything about K-12. I'm learning a lot as I go and a lot as I get involved. I became more involved in our school system when my kids entered the schools. Right. And as things were changing, I wanted to be their advocate. So when my daughter came home crying because she was placed in the wrong math class, I did the research and I talked to the principal and we made sure that she was placed in the right math class. Because in eighth grade, sixth, seventh, eighth grade is where our kids lose interest in STEM, most especially our girls. So we want to make sure that our curriculum is providing, as Joanne said earlier, a challenge for those who need it and for those who need some extra support, that we're providing them with equity. Equality is not equity. Equality means everyone gets the same thing. It's a factory. That's not the model that we need going forward for modern learners. They need equity. They need, some of them might need a stool and some of them might need a hole dug so they can stand in it and reach a little higher. So my passion for learning, if you look me up online, everything says voracious learner. That is what I do all day, every day. And if you ask my kids, I ask why a lot, just like kids do, because I want to understand our world and I want to embrace curiosity, and I want the kids that I interact with to embrace that as well.
Okay, now we will go to the question that was prepared, given to them in advance. Again, it's the same question. What do you see as the biggest issues that should be addressed by the school board within the next several years? And this time, we'll start with Samantha.
So I don't think it takes a college degree to see that, you know, budgets are always going to be an issue. Teacher retention and acquisition is always going to be an issue. Quality curriculum and curriculum concerns when you have parents that want to make sure their kids are learning what they want them to learn, that is a concern. I don't think that those are a next couple year issue. I think those are a continuing issue with education. They're a continuing issue with all public education. You know, when you have a location that is basically responsible for our kids for multiple hours a day, that's where they go to learn how to be citizens. And all of the things that are involved in that are what the schools are responsible for. As a school board, you're an advocate for those students. You're an advocate for those parents. You're an advocate for those community members who might not have students. They might not care, but they need to. And so if you or I or any of these, you know, individuals who are up here running for this position, you're being asked to be their representative. And so I think the biggest issue is, how do we get the community to care when there is taxpayer fatigue? How do we get the community to be excited about programs that might not be very fun, but they're necessary to make sure that our students are well-rounded learners? How do we make ourselves, even though we're in, you know, little Bozeman and Belgrade, Montana, how do we make ourselves be competitive on a national and world stage, because we're not just a small town. You know, a lot of people don't realize that Belgrade, Montana is rural Montana. We are, you know, rural education, we are rural healthcare. And so those sorts of things have an impact on our kids, they have an impact on our community. So how do we navigate those issues? Because they're not a just, you know, a current issue right now. These are going to be ongoing issues from when our kids are right now in kindergarten all the way up until they graduate when, you know, they're 18 or whatever. Those are going to be issues that we have to find a way to navigate so that they're having a quality education the entire time, not just for the next couple of years.
One of the things that I see as the biggest issue that our school board and our school district are facing right now is the changing demographic. You're asking about finances and why are there more kids than there are tax dollars? It's because of the way our community is comprised. We have had in the last couple of years many large developments go in that are rentals. So those landowners and those property owners are paying taxes, but they don't have kids going into our schools. The school children are with the renters. So what does that, how does that affect our tax dollars? I don't fully know, right? This is something that I need to learn more about. How does that affect what our schools receive? I think funding obviously is an issue. We are in a very, very, in business we call it VUCA, right? Volatile, uncertain, now I'm going to forget what the C stands for, but we're in a world that's very unstable, right? We don't know what's going to happen from one minute to the next. One of the analysts that I've worked with in D.C. for years said the other day, he doesn't know what this administration is going to do in 4 hours, much less 4 years. So what we have to work with is what we have in front of us. And looking at the long term, what are the skills and knowledge that our students are going to need in order to succeed in the world, right? It's not necessarily just to go to higher education. The College for All is not necessarily the banner we need to wave anymore because of the way that technology is changing the future of work. That's what I do right now is I help corporations understand what are the knowledge, skills, and abilities they need in their corporation in order to operate. So helping our school system see what those are to put kids both into the workforce and into higher ed for whatever interests them is one of the things that I think the board will have to be considering in both curricular and extracurricular activities.
Thank you. And now we're ready for
questions.
Nope. Oh, I did it again.
It's okay. It's no problem. I'll just say ditto. Those ladies are really good.
Speaking of smacking, you have to smack you. We should be smacking you.
Exactly.
I will concur. We all seem to be on the same page this evening when it comes to budget. And I think that budget is a big issue in our district. But I also think it comes along with our ability of our schools to be competitive with the area schools. We really want a school system that is sought after and considered really stellar. So that no student, and I don't know if some of you are aware of this or not, but we were mocked as being below grade. And that's what our kids had to deal with, being called below grade. So I think that through a strong budget and making sure that parents and our community, our school teachers, our school board, that we're all working side by side, that we can come together and support our schools to make us Belgrade. That's what the kids came up with. We will be Belgrade. So with that budget, we would be able to create and maintain programs and services that will engage and keep our students in school. And because of the cost of living in this valley, we would be able to pay our teachers a living wage and retain them in our schools because our wages and our costs of our benefits package needs to keep up as a Class AA school now. We don't want our teachers leaving our district after we've recruited them and trained them and rolling down the road where they can make thousands of dollars more instead of staying in our current district. Excuse me. And the last part of that comes with being able to take care of the facilities that need to be maintained. And we need to work together as a community to pass these mill levies that come up, because if we don't pass the mill levies, our schools are underfunded. which means then we have lower quality schools and our children get a lower quality education. I think our community understands that if schools aren't supported, they will fail, and so will the community. So please stick with me and let's make Belgrade schools Belgrade.
Questions from the audience. Go ahead.
So I've heard a lot about wanting our budget to be filled, but quality education doesn't always just come from a full budget. I have 7 kids, and 3 of them are still in the Belgrade school system. And currently my youngest, I am homeschooling her because I do not feel like the Belgrade Middle School is giving quality education. We've been here for 4 years, and the second year that we were here, they switched over their curriculum to where the middle school is no longer giving a grade. There's no grading system. And so my youngest, too, really suffered as far as learning that year. At the end of the year, they both scored in their achievement testing. They scored below average, and none of my kids have ever scored poorly on any of their achievement tests. And then when my son went to high school this year, he did really poorly. It took him, like, up to this point, he's finally starting to understand that when a teacher says that there's a due date, that he's going to get a grade if it's not turned in right away. Like, because there was no way that they could implement a due date when they weren't giving a grade for it in middle school. So he was not prepared for high school at all. They weren't giving him tests. He wasn't prepared for tests. He did really poorly this year. So I'm just wondering what can be done. Is there any chance that they're going to change that curriculum back to a grading system? Or what can be done to change the middle school so they're actually preparing our kids for high school?
Ooh, I got to go first.
Lucky you.
Okay. Had to wait for it to fire up. So theoretically, what they did is competency-based education. Mm-hmm. So your students should be progressing from one level to the next to the next. Mm-hmm. Have they implemented it in maybe the most classic way of competency-based education or mastery-based education? No. I've seen it as well, right? Where when you're doing competency-based education at a higher level, if you master that knowledge, skill, or ability, if you can prove that you can demonstrate mastery of that, you get to move on. Like if you get a 3 right away, you get to move on, right? Do the next thing. Mm-hmm. We don't have that. So kids who excel beyond it get held back, and kids who can't catch up because they don't understand the cyclical nature of it fall behind. So you're right. It is rocky right now. And perhaps that's a note that the board needs to take back to the middle school and help them understand how that help them provide them with training. I think I'm past my time. Yeah.
Based upon, basically, I can say ditto to what she's saying again, because that is what it is. You are mastering a certain level and then being prepared to go on. And I don't know, because I'm not in the middle school and I have not been in the middle school a lot. I do have a grandson there, but he has flourished and done very well. So maybe some of that has to do with students as well. But she is correct in saying you are supposed to master one step at a time. That is the way it is built up. And I think for anybody that was brought up on a system of a grade and a point value, it's a real hard system to switch your brain and wrap it around, to be able to just be told, can you read this much stuff? And then you can go up to this next level. It's a much harder concept, I think, to deal with. I think it is much, or for me as a teacher, it would be much easier for me to measure your success based on scores and grading and teaching that way, but that's the way I taught also. So I'm so sorry, I'm talking way too long.
Yeah, I think
I'm sorry.
No, it's sorry. I mean, it's nuanced, right? There's a lot to unpack. So I will say that my direct anecdotal experience in the elementary school is that kids, parents, and teachers are really frustrated when we have this new program. The teachers basically were given 3 months over the summer to learn it and then be able to implement it in a, you know, intelligent and, you know, helpful way. That's not enough time. And then you have students who are coming in and saying, well, I don't understand how any of this works because this is all brand new. And then you have parents who are saying, why are we doing math weird now? And so I think that that's a problem where when you have, you know, the school board doesn't make curriculum. And so, like, I think that's one of the things where it's like, what is the school board responsible for? And, like, how much power do they have? And so, but they have the ability to take your concerns, which are completely valid. Like, how are you supposed to say that to someone, sorry, your kid's just not doing well. I guess your option is to homeschool. Like, that's not a reasonable or even acceptable answer to give to somebody. But it's saying, we have students who are flourishing and we have students who are floundering. That's not acceptable. Like, the whole point is to make the majority of our students, as many as they can, when they're having trouble, to help them. So if the curriculum isn't working, why not? How do we implement tools so that we can help those teachers, we can help those students? I know we're terrible, sorry.
Thanks for being on my team.
Next. Who has a question? All right.
I don't know. This feels like cheating a little.
I'm glad. I know this stuff.
This is actually,
fair.
This is actually a really important question. Okay?
Keep it coming. Keep
so
it coming.
On the school board, you know, we have our school board members, and we have, you know, often our superintendent, our vice superintendent there. If you disagree with a school board member, how will you handle that disagreement? And how do you vote in such a way that your vote is not personal, but rather is absolutely going to be beneficial for the community, for our educators, and for our students?
Well, that's
great question. And Lila, it's your turn again.
Okay. I think you answered your own question right there. If we are going to be logical human beings and not rule from our heart, which I'm very emotional. I know that was hard to tell when I started boobering at the beginning. Don't ask any of my fellow staff members. But we have to be as honest with ourselves as we possibly can. And our top priority should always be, what is our job? And our job is here to serve. And if we are here to serve, then we have to be looking at the things that you said. We are going to be looking at what is going to be best for the kids in this district. We're going to be looking at what is best for the school, the community, the whole higher end of this, because we are here to serve you. We are your servants. Isn't that great? Anybody want to come?
Can you keep it down, Lila?
but that is going to be, and then we just have to be as honest with ourselves as we can. And when we make that vote, we can't say, well, you know, so-and-so made me mad. I'm just going to say no. We're going to say no. I'm going to do this right.
All right, two more questions.
Wait.
Oh. These guys, they get to answer it too.
I'm going to do that all night. They're going to have
it's okay.
Yes. Again, I think I did that last
Wait.
Time.
All right, so Joanne's question was, how would we make decisions if we were elected where we're not making from our own personal biases? How would we potentially navigate a, you know, conflict within the board? I think that's a great question. You're asked that every time you interview for a job. How do you handle conflict? Well, you don't punch the superintendent for having a different opinion than you. But I do think it's one of those moments where you let go of ego. I am not here because I care about what happens to me and my kid and my school. I'm here because I care about what happens to my community. And the only way I can have an actual answer to a question that is presented to the school board is to reach out to you. Because if I am just taking my opinion, I'm not going to represent you. You probably will not agree with me, and that's great. I want to know what our community as a whole will stand for, because that's how you pass levies. That's how you get curriculum, you know, change. That's how you get programs after school, you know, before school. That's how you get these things run. You don't get them done by one person. You get them done as a community. And if we're going to be a resilient school district that can handle changes, we have to be able to do it as a group without one person sitting on a board being a dictator. This is a group effort. The school board is working towards a common goal, and that's our students.
Right.
I feel like there won't be any conflict on the board if we always agree.
Right. Right. But we aren't always going to agree.
No.
Right?
No.
But the point of being a public servant is to be able to set aside your own biases, like Joanne said, and bring the facts forward. Mm-hmm. That's what matters. What is happening in our schools? What is happening in our community? And how can we make a best decision to make our community and our kids better, right? That's what matters. Or our teachers, right? And I also want to bring forward our support staff, right? If you're not treating support staff with the respect that they deserve, our kids can't learn if their environment isn't clean, if they don't have food at school, if the heating isn't working or the plumbing isn't working. They can't learn in those environments. So we need to be respectful of everyone's input in order to make the decisions that work best for our community.
We're talking about decisions being made. Who or how is the meeting agenda decided? Who brings the questions before the board?
So this is fun. I actually learned this for the first time from a superintendent. So the school board is, you know, there are members of the school board and they all vote together, or not necessarily all together, but they all, you know, reach a quorum in one way or another. If they don't, there is a school board member who is the agenda maker. So they are the person who sets up the agenda for any of the meetings. And typically they won't vote unless there is contention with the vote. From what I understand, and I don't know if it's done, you know, in this school district or not, superintendents and school boards are working in conjunction with each other. Nobody really bosses anyone else around. So the joke of, you know, punching the school superintendent, it doesn't even make sense. They're not in competition with each other. And so, like, there can be conflicts about decision making, but as far as like the hierarchy within the school board, you know, the 3-year terms and the 1-year terms, there's no, like, you know, they're more powerful than me, my vote must not matter as much. That's not the way it's done. And so, again, because it's community-based, when the meetings are held, you come, you bring stuff, but the agenda is placed ahead of time.
And there is always opportunity for public comment. There's opportunity for things that are not on the agenda at the beginning of every school board meeting. They're not voted on that night, but you can bring them forward, and if the board so chooses to move it into a vote, they can do that for the next agenda. So, for instance, last year or even this year, looking at whether or not eighth graders could receive high school credit for courses they take in eighth grade that are at the high school level. They're taught by a high school teacher, and they're the same curriculum that's taught at the high school. Whether or not that could be, if someone brought that forward at one meeting as a public member, then it was moved to the agenda for the next meeting where it's discussed. The public is allowed to provide comment. The board has a discussion and then makes a vote. So there's always opportunity to have your thoughts, feelings, opinions, and positions heard by the board.
I believe, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that there is an agenda committee, and that agenda committee puts the agenda for each meeting together. That agenda is set out to all board members. They open it up, information that is provided about topics that will be brought up. They read it, they study it, and they, when they come to the meetings, and that topic or, you know, new business, old business, whatever it might be, is opened before the board. If there's questions, they can ask those questions, and the board then votes, passes, or fails whatever they are working on at that time. There is protocol. The school board is like the board of a corporation, if you would, and so if there are certain major concerns, they should probably be taken to the superintendent, and then the superintendent would bring those to the board or to the board agenda and say, we think this is something in the community. We are having a lot of community members that are highly concerned, and I'm talking in way too much.
All right, last question.
Given that school funding is closely tied, actually directly tied to student enrollment, how do you plan to address the challenges posed by declining enrollment in our community due to open enrollment policies and competition from other educational opportunities?
Would you rerun that one more time?
Yes, sorry, I stumbled over my words. Given that school funding is directly tied to student enrollment, so all of our funding comes from how many students we have in our community, or how many students we have enrolled at our schools, as Renee said, the year before, not the year, the current year. How do you plan to address the challenges posed by declining enrollment due to our open enrollment policies and competition from other educational opportunities?
Okay. That's a really tough question because I wholeheartedly believe in the ability for families to make the decision that's right for them and that's right for their children. While my two children are in Belgrade Public Schools and we've had a phenomenal experience, and I tell everyone about it, I think that's what we have to do. We have to make Belgrade schools desirable. We have to make our education known, right? We have to show the accomplishments of our students, and not just on, you know, the soccer pitch, and not just on the FFA stage, right? That's a stage. But also in the classroom, right? We want to see our students going on to win National Merit Scholars. We want to see them getting scholarships to go to college, or we want to see them excelling in the trades. So making those, I will say this, and I'm going to go over time real quick here, but I watched the power of the Belgrade schools to change the life of a kid, because I was a mentor in the Bozeman schools, and a child that I was mentoring moved to Belgrade. We kind of broke the rules a little and stayed connected and met after school rather than in school. And the difference that the attention she got at these schools made for her sent her on a completely different trajectory. She did take a gap year and work. And then she went on, I know I'm past time, and then she went on right to college, and she made her own way. And ProStart, a program that hopefully we never have to cut, but could be one of those things on the chopping block, was the difference for her. So that's part of what made me passionate about Belgrade schools. Sorry.
All right, each candidate will again.
Nope, they've still got two more.
Yeah. No, we didn't get to.
Yeah, they still have to go.
Sam and I haven't got the answer. Do I go or does Sam go? Okay.
You go.
Okay. Okay.
I know that part. I can't track
it. I am not sure how far our enrollment has really dropped, but it goes back to the fact that we are going to propose a budget and the state's going to give us 80% of that money, and we're going to have to, sadly, as a taxpayer, who my husband would be right in the ditch with you, sir, about taxes. He would be in that ditch with you because he about had a heart attack when he saw that we might need to pay $12. And I told him, I said, you know, that's a couple lattes, or we can go to Dairy, we can give up Dairy Queen a couple times if we're going to support kids, if we can help kids do better. But as far as open enrollment, the way I understand that program is that there is only a certain number of spots, and when those spots are filled, we're not going to push any of our kids out first. If we have three open spots in fourth grade that could be open enrollment, those four spots can be filled, but once they are filled, somebody else just can't come in and keep taking away from our students. So that would nip that problem in the bud. And I agree with Callie. I think we have a phenomenal district, and I too, because I've been in the schools, have seen transformation of kids. And as a speech and debate coach, I watched a kid with a stutter leave my team and thinking that it was the greatest thing in the world, and that speech and debate and 4 o'clock in the morning bus rides were phenomenal.
I'll say that, you know, I have seen direct effects for the decline in enrollment, at least at the elementary level. I think, you know, this is a function of our environment. We have, it's expensive to live here, and families with kids, it's hard. So, you know, just out of my son's class, 5 kids have moved out this year already. And I mean, the year's almost over, but that they're not coming back. They've moved out of state. And so that's enrollment that they don't count for. Well, they'll count for next year, but they aren't going to be in our community anymore. And so I think it's not just a function of, you know, I mean, obviously we want to be a draw because we have quality schools. There are a lot of good options in the Valley for educating your kids. And if you're going to make public school competitive, you have to be flexible and you have to be creative with your budget, with how you educate kids. Like somebody pointed out, education is not just found in the classroom. Mm-hmm. One of the funnest things I have done is once a month I will take over a class and we go and do like something that is not, you know, classroom based. It's usually outside and we learn stuff. And I have had multiple teachers ask me if I can take over their classes too. And it's getting the community involved because you're all knowledgeable people. It doesn't matter whether you went to college, you know your stuff. And your kids need to know what you know. And if you have something to share, you know, get involved, because education isn't just our teachers' responsibility. It's not just the parents' responsibility. These are your neighbors, and we should be supporting each other in that way if we can.
We give them each 2 minutes for a closing statement.
I'm trying to include everybody.
Touch down.
That's right.
And we're done. Everyone go home.
And we will start with Lila.
Okay. All right. Okay. If I can get it on, excuse me. Sorry about that. I would like to say thank you very much to Miss Jane and the League of Women Voters and the Women's Association and the Belgrade Public Library, and to all of you, the Belgrade community members, for coming here this evening and asking your questions and making the gears roll in my brain way more than they have been. I really feel that students are the gift of the future for this community and our state. And I think that they need to get the very best education that we can provide. Our teachers need competitive wages so they stay in our district. And we need our facilities to be maintained and safe for everyone. I want us to see that our schools are competitive with all of the other schools in the area. I come with my years of teaching experience in this district, and I hopefully that gives me and some insight into the runnings of what goes on in a school and can hopefully assist the board in making decisions. I think that maintaining our budget through our levies is something that has got to be carried on, whether we like to see our taxes go up or not. The hope would be that with growth and with businesses coming in, that would shake down and level out, and it would not become a burden anymore or be such a big burden. I think that when our students, our staff, our administrators, our parents, and our communities take ownership of the future education of our district, we will be unstoppable. Please know that I am available to listen to your concerns, and I'm also available to listen to how great you think this district is. And I'm also open to ideas for solving the problems in this district. And as I stated before, come together. Let's come together, put our students first, and let's make Belgrade, Belgrade.
Was it me?
No.
Me, yes.
Okay. So, thank you for being here. It warms the cockles of my heart that as much as I care about these issues, that you care as well. I think that is the best outcome that our schools could have, is the just insane amount of community engagement. Like, you guys are passionate about what matters, and I think that's great. Before I started a family, I was a nursing assistant for 6 years, and I was really good at being a patient advocate. I directly translate that to being a student advocate, to being staff advocate, to being a parent advocate, because that's what's important. It's not my opinion. It's not how I feel about anything. It's how I can stand up for you and what you care about, what matters to our kids. I think it's really important that we look at the future of issues that not only keep cropping up and are consistent issues, but then also, you know, in the future, if we're going to constantly be changing curriculum to provide higher quality education, how do we make sure that that is put out in a way that benefits our kids, that doesn't just hurt them every time we try to change curriculum, that doesn't hurt our teachers every time we can't get a levy passed? How do we make ourselves, you know, strong in an economy that doesn't support any budget. I think that our staff need support, our students need support, and our families need support, because it is one thing if we can be in charge of what happens in the classroom, but those kids have to go home and those kids have to grow up and become citizens. They're our neighbors. They're going to be our community members. And if we can help them grow into good, educated, you know, compassionate community members, we'll have done our job. But how do we do that? And how do we make sure that as a board and as a community, we're moving forward with that? I think that's incredibly important. I would say that, you know, the board's core values are moving students to the next stage of life. And whatever that looks like, because we don't know, and we might not know by the time they graduate, it doesn't matter, because we know what is important now, and making sure that we work towards that, regardless of what the budget looks like, should be everyone's goal.
I'll echo the thanks. It's fun to see this many people here for something we all care about, right? We wouldn't be sitting up here if we didn't. So kudos to all of the others running, and to all of you for coming out and advocating for your views in our community. I will openly admit, I don't go to all of the board meetings. I come to ones when I can, and I come to the ones that that have something that I can add value. So that's what I'm looking to do with the board. One, I'd be consistent, because once you make the commitment, you show up, right? And that's something we need to inculcate in our students as well. Right, helping them understand that when you make the commitment to pursue a sport, to pursue a passion, so theater or arts or your curriculum, right? You want to strive to be a National Merit Scholar. You have to show up. So showing up is one of my key values, and being there, listening is super important to understand what it is that our community needs and what our students need. I feel like we underutilize our student representative right now. And I would very much like to see, one, more student representation, because I want to hear how things are for them on the ground. They don't have the view we have, and we don't have the view they have. But we both need to come together to see what can be done to set them up for success in the future. That is something I would advocate for as a board member, is more student involvement. And deep student involvement, not just saying we have a student representative. And then something else that was underlined for me in the last year is that we really need to trust our professionals. We hire a superintendent, and we hire teachers and coaches and support staff. We hire professionals, and we need to put our trust in them.
Okay, before we close, I want to do some thank yous. I especially want to thank the candidates who put themselves out there and attend tonight. I also want to thank you all for attending. Belgrade is the example of civility and really smart questions. And I really appreciate your attendance tonight. I want to thank the Belgrade Community Library for allowing us to use this room and helping us to set up and all the tables and chairs and the mic. Alina is the new librarian. If you haven't met her, please say hi, because they've been really helpful in putting on this event. I also want to thank Bob, who's with KTVM. Right, Bob? Did I get that right? GVM. Who is recording this? It will be available. The recording will help me, Bob. Will be available on your website.
Yeah, kgvm.org. Probably in the next day or two, and I think we'll broadcast this on Friday at 1 p.m. If you know somebody who wasn't able to attend, but anybody can listen to it on that website anytime. So.
Yeah. So please, Bob, let other people know if they are interested. They could still pick it up. From the radio station. A reminder about Vote 411 is available. Please utilize it. And I had one more thank you. Who was it? Well, I will say that Pat, the lovely hostess Pat, is available if you need help with voter registration. The league does do voter registration. If you are not registered to vote, please talk to Pat about voter registration. On behalf of tonight's sponsors, the Bozeman Area League of Women Voters, the American Association of University Women, and the Bozeman Public Library. I wish to thank them. And again, if you're not registered, please register. Thank you very much for attending.
Thank you for hosting.
Thank you, Jane. Thank you, Jane.
That concludes this recording of the forum for candidates for the open one-year seat on the Belgrade School District 44 Board. Again, this event was held in the Belgrade Community Library on Tuesday, April 29th, 2025.